This is an iHeart podcast.
What's the latest and greatest on these Biden documents? They find new ones every day. We'll talk to Miranda Devine about that. We got Liz Wheeler, Lauren Chen, Great Light in the Mood. All that is coming up. It's going to be a fun Monday night on I'm Right. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture this. I am at a bowling alley. Let's say I'm being a weirdo and I'm just hanging out there by myself, just getting ready to bowl. And some kid, I don't know, some 10-year-old kid comes up to me and starts telling me, "You suck at bowling. I'm way better than you. You're an idiot." He's just being a nasty, disrespectful little kid. And so I challenge this kid at bowling. Would I take it easy on him? No, he's not my kid. I don't like him at all. I would just utterly destroy him, make fun of him while he's rolling gutter balls and everything, just utterly destroy him. Why? Because I want him so demoralized that I never have to look at him again while I'm bowling. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on for a second. But then what if it was my kids? And what if my kids started talking that same mess to me as they might do? "Dad, you suck. Dad, I'm way better than you at bowling." And I'm looking at my kid and I know I'm going to crush this kid at bowling. But I have a choice in that moment. He's never bowled before. I have a choice. I can make sure he learns his lesson gently, or I can destroy him and so demoralize him that I make sure he never wants to bowl again. Well, because I love him, because he's my kid, I'll put the little lane bumpers out there so he loses, but he's not rolling in the gutter every time feeling bad about himself. This stupid little story I just brought to you is exactly what's happening right now when it comes to Joe Biden. Well, the Biden versus Trump thing. Because I see a lot of people out there on the right. "Why didn't they raid Trump? Why didn't they raid Biden like they raided Trump?" Because you saw, of course, FBI found even more documents over the weekend. But they're clearly holding hands on the whole thing. Joe Biden's inviting the FBI. Their lawyers are working with the DOJ. We now know the DOJ worked with these people to keep it quiet until after the election. That alone should mean impeachment for Merrick Garland, by the way. That's like the biggest deal in the world. A Department of Justice colluding with the Biden administration to help Democrats win elections. But the right is tempted to do this. "Well, they're not treating him like they treated Trump." Well, yeah. They wanted to embarrass and demoralize Donald Trump like I would want to do with the kid I don't know. With Joe Biden, oh, they want to defeat him. Don't get me wrong. This is Democrats doing it to him. They want him gone. They want him to lose. They essentially want him to announce he's not running for 2024. That's really the end goal in this thing here. But they've got the lane bumpers out there for Joe. You see, we want him, we don't want him to run again, but we don't want all of us looking bad. So, let's just work with the DOJ. "Oh, no, he's working with us. He's cooperating. He's letting us know. It's much different. This is good to go." But rest assured, everything that's happening right now with Joe Biden is a very big deal. You know it's a big deal. You even saw his chief of staff, Ron Klain, is peacing out. Why? Because Ron Klain understands this is the end of the road. And it's something, if you've been watching I'm Right, it's something you've been aware of for a long time. The people around Joe Biden were yanking him to the left, being radical the whole time, because they always knew this was just going to be a stepping stone on the way to some lucrative media or think tank or academia job. This is Joe Biden getting shoved out, but with the lane bumpers up. We don't want to destroy everybody. Let's just make sure he loses. That's why you're seeing what you're seeing. We're going to ask Miranda Devine if I'm full of crap on that, and we're going to ask her right now. Joining me now, great columnist with the New York Post and author of the book Laptop from Hell. She also has that great newsletter. I love the name Devine Online. Highly recommend you sign up for that. Okay, Miranda, you have a column out. Quote, "There's no hiding Biden's fright over classified document scandal." It's your column, not mine. The floor is yours.
Yeah, hi, Jesse. Look, you can tell that Joe Biden is panicking, and with good reason. The way he snapped at reporters in California last week when they deigned to ask a question, he's managed to keep himself pretty quarantined from the media. And he said he had no regrets, that there's no there, which is a pretty extraordinary thing for him to say, considering that, you know, the DOJ just went to his house for another search on Friday and spent 13 hours and found what they said was six items of classified information. And, you know, we already know that from sources that have told CNN and I think the New York Times that some of this material in that first tranche that was found at the University of Pennsylvania, that was pertaining to Ukraine, the United Kingdom, and to Iran. And so I had a look in the laptop, and there's one curious email that really stands out from Hunter Biden to his business partner at the time, Devin Archer. And it's on April 13, 2014. And it's just around the time that they join the board of that Ukrainian energy company, Burisma, around the time that Devin Archer is photographed alongside Joe Biden in Joe Biden, the vice president's office. And that photograph was taken by Hunter Biden. And all this was all happening around the same time. Now, this email that I found is very curious because unlike most of Hunter Biden's other emails in the entire 9 years of this laptop, it's very detailed. It's a very strategic document. It is very well informed. It's very lengthy. It consists of 22 bullet points. And among them is, you know, information about Ukraine politics, about the upcoming election, the candidates, and also some pretty detailed, pretty informed geostrategic information about, you know, for instance, Russia trying to, you know, is going to escalate its destabilization of Ukraine, and its aim is to get a land bridge to Crimea. I mean, these are all things that, if you're familiar with Hunter Biden's writings in the other 9 years, are just so uncharacteristic that you can only surmise that he's had a strategic briefing or he's had access to a strategic briefing. This email was a week before his father, Joe Biden, was flying to Ukraine, having been appointed by President Obama as point man for Ukraine, and he was going there to meet the then Prime Minister before the elections. And so I just surmise that perhaps this was Hunter having accessed or having been told about a classified briefing. The information there is too detailed, too prescient to just be randomly off the street, on the media, open source knowledge.
Oh, gosh. So we have Hunter Biden there with access to these things. Okay, Miranda, I have a theory. Just going to throw it by you. I think that this is Joe Biden's managed exit. This is his managed decline. I think he is in very real trouble here. But we keep talking about these documents being discovered. It's not Republican operatives low crawling into his garage. It's his own people, his own lawyers. I think this is Democrats taking out Joe as politely as humanly possible. That's why they're working with the DOJ. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. And that really lets Joe Biden off the hook slightly and the Democrats. If they wanted to get rid of him, they could find all sorts of medical reasons that are obvious every day to do it. So I don't think that's the case. And I think Andy McCarthy, the former prosecutor, wrote a very interesting column yesterday in which he's revealed that what initially happened was that when Joe Biden's lawyers went searching for whatever reason, but presumably you think that they were looking for any evidence that might that they might want to remove or at least be familiar with before the Republicans gear up their investigation. So they went looking for that material and found some classified documents. And then what Andy McCarthy says is that they didn't tell the DOJ. They told the National Archives, hoping that, or thinking, assuming that the National Archives would just accept the documents back and refile them and not tell anyone. And unfortunately for Joe Biden, the Inspector General of NARA, the National Archives, he caught wind of it or was informed about it, and he then informed, as he should, the DOJ. That's why the DOJ became involved. And remember that these that first tranche of documents at University of Pennsylvania were discovered, well, we're told, on November 2. Who knows if it was really that date, if it was earlier, but anyway, it was last fall. And this was a week before the midterm elections. So it was kept quiet for that reason, because it would have been very damaging to the Democrats before the election, because it just showed what hypocrites they are, and Joe Biden is, particularly when he points the finger at Donald Trump about his classified documents, when it seems that Joe Biden, who was, you know, he's taken documents when he was a senator and when he was vice president, unlike President Trump, he didn't have that power to declassify material. And, as Ted Cruz has said, as many Democrat senators, including Joe Manchin, said on the weekend, how on earth does a senator get to take classified documents home? And some of these are, you know, top secret classified, the very top level of classification. And to, as it's been explained to me by a former prosecutor, in order to read those documents, you have to go into what's called a SCIF, you know, a secure classified sort of module. And there's a guard outside the door, there's a guard inside, they open the computer for you, they show you the information, you get to read it, but you can't take notes. If you take notes, those notes become classified as well. You cannot take anything out, you cannot photograph them or use your phone. It's incredibly seriously taken incredibly seriously. So the idea that Joe Biden as a senator had managed to squirrel away some of these classified documents is just insane. And then you just have to ask, considering that he had them at his home in his garage next to his Corvette and in another room, you have to ask, considering that Hunter Biden, during that period when he was, you know, 2013 to 2016, the documents in that first tranche were said to be from, that was the period when Hunter Biden and his uncle, Joe's brother, Jim Biden, were at the peak of their influence peddling operations overseas. And that information, that classified information, would have been extremely useful, would have raised the value of what they were selling, the product they were selling, which of course was access to Joe Biden and his power and prestige as vice president and previously as senator.
Miranda, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Good to talk to you.
All right. We have a packed show still. Packed show. So before we get to that, let's do this. You know what I did this morning? This is what I've become. Once I got done working out, no big deal, I went to the pantry and I got out my Chalk Male Vitality Stack and I took them. Every single day I take a Male Vitality Stack from Chalk. 9 months now I think I've been on this stuff. The difference in how you feel. Natural herbal supplements, by the way. They have a female vitality stack. Now the wife is starting to steal big parts of my order. But hey, they're 35% off subscriptions right now. If you go to chalk.com, chok.com, promo code Jesse. Guys, 90 days, you take it. Tell me you don't feel better. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days with natural supplements. Ladies, take your female vitality stack. 90 days. You're going to be amazed at how good you feel. Chalk.com, promo Jesse.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
The enemies of humanity. It's quite a thing to say about someone, isn't it? The enemies of humanity. We had a shooting over the weekend. I'm sure you've heard about it. California, some big lunar festival thing. It's a big Asian holiday. some nutball who's now dead, self-inflicted gunshot wound. Some nutball goes in, shoots up the place, kills 10, injures 10. All right, so it's very, very sad. And when you see a tragedy, because you're not an enemy of humanity, when you see any kind of a tragedy, a bad car wreck, shooting, whatever the case may be, what happens to you is different than what happens to the enemies of humanity, the communists. And here, I want you to understand this completely. You see, when you see a tragedy, instantly you are putting yourself, because you think about other people, you put yourself in the shoes of that mom who's getting a phone call, dad, husband, wife, child, getting the worst phone call you could ever imagine. You know, the phone call every person dreads, your wife's never coming home again, your kids are never coming home again. You immediately start thinking about that person in the wake of a tragedy. You say things like, how sad. You say things like, pray for the family, because your heart is hurting on their behalf. That's what you are like, because you're a human being with values. Now, here's a trap you have to be careful you avoid in your life. You have to be very, very careful. It's human nature to take your values and project them onto other people. It's human nature. We all do it. I do it. You do it. We that's what we do. And so in the wake of a mass shooting, this is what happens every single time in America. There will be some horrible mass shooting, and your heart will be hurting for the people. And then immediately you will see the communists in this country start gun grabbing. Gavin Newsom out there immediately calling for real gun reform on a national level, Dome blaming gun violence. Even the Los Angeles Rams called for pulling back on guns, donating to they call it gun safety organizations, they're gun grabbing organizations. And so because you're a human being with values, when you see the communists respond like that in the wake of a mass shooting, here's what you're probably tempted to do. You're probably tempted to start bringing up facts. We love doing this because the facts are all on your side if you're a pro-gun person. Maybe you're tempted in response to these things, when you see them gun grabbing, you're tempted to say things like, what? That gun was already illegal there. Or, hey, this happened in California, a state with the strict gun laws. So when you face gun grabbers, I know you've seen this, maybe you've done this. This is what the right does in the wake of these mass shootings. You're tempted to respond with truth and facts and reason. But you know why you're doing this? You're making a mistake. You know why you're doing this? Because you think you're dealing with a human being who has your humanity, who has your values, and what you don't understand is you're dealing with what Solzhenitsyn called the enemies of humanity. You're dealing with communists. That feeling you get, that tug in your heart for that family when you see people die, you know the communist doesn't feel that at all, right? Nothing. Doesn't feel that at all. In fact, if you could hook these people up to a lie detector test and really ask them questions in the wake of something horrible, school shooting, something like that, I think you would probably be horrified. In fact, I think you would probably move to the mountains if you really knew what these people thought. Did you see this one person making it about race?
One thing that I do know, no matter the race, gender, identity, motivation of the shooter, mass shootings and violence are an essential integral part of U.S. white dominant culture. I'm here to take down U.S. white dominant culture. How about you?
Now, maybe you're tempted to start countering that with more facts and reason because you don't understand. These people know all the gun laws. They know all the facts. When you tell them, I was in California where they have gun laws, they know. When you point out, most gun deaths are from suicides, they know. They know. They understand all these facts you bring up. They're not worried about any of that. These people are simply trying to disarm you so they have the freedom to hurt you. And when something horrible happens, because they're the enemies of humanity, when something horrible happens, they get excited. This is what you don't get. You're not both on the same level. Well, I'm sad and he's sad. We just we don't want different things, but we're both sad. No, you're sad. He's happy. I'm sorry. I know this hurts to hear about your fellow man, but you're sad. He's happy. He thinks this is pretty exciting. You can't relate because you're a human, but he looked at his phone and oh, 10 people dead. Nice. We'll get some guns out of this. Nice. Woo! Hopefully 10 more. I know you don't like to think about that, but it's true. These people are trying to burn everything to ash. And so your response to them when they start gun grabbing, when they stand on still warm dead bodies in order to push their political agenda, your response should be either ignore them completely or nothing but scorn. You don't have to engage them in some gun grabbing debate. They know. They know all the facts you're presenting to them. You're not the first one to do so. They just don't care. You see, we have a real problem in this country. We have a communist street violence problem. And part of the reason we have a communist street violence problem is the enemies of humanity also bring you the news. These people are in your newsrooms covering up for this stuff all the time. That's the truth. Did you know there were big riots in Atlanta over the weekend? Property damage, all kinds of things. Would you like to hear how the American media, how the enemies of our humanity, would you like to hear how they covered more communist street violence? Here's how they covered it.
Well, I think that there's a real blurring of the lines in the use of the word violence. Is property destruction violence? To some people, it certainly is. But, you know, this idea that breaking windows or other acts of property destruction are the same as actual violence against humans is kind of a dangerous and slippery concept.
Your media isn't ignoring communist street violence, they're cheering it on. The enemies of humanity bring you the news. The enemies of humanity pop up whenever there's a mass shooting. Don't think you're just gonna reason with them. Well, we're both hurting right now. No. You're hurting, they're happy. Until you accept that, you'll never understand these people. All right, we got Liz Wheeler. She's gonna join us next, talk a little bit more about Antifa and other things. Before we get to Liz, let's get to this. I don't need to give you some doom and gloom dark preview about our economic situation in 2023. You saw our special last week. Everyone knows it's going to be a rough year, maybe rough 2 or 3 years. If you don't want your 401k and IRA to lose another 30%, maybe it's time you fortify them a little bit. Some gold and silver. Oxford Gold will hook you up. They'll get gold and silver in your 401k, IRA. Consider it a protection plan for your investments. They'll also mail gold and silver, real hard gold and silver, to your front door. You need to be investing now in things you can touch and feel, okay? Touch and feel. In times like this, that's what you trust. Call them. They're my friends. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They will take good care of you. Call 833-995-GOLD. They're super laid back and chill, but they're, you need to call them. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Promise we made in the Declaration of Independence that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Huh. Almost feels like something's missing from that. Joining me now, my friend Liz Wheeler of the Great Liz Wheeler Show, which you can watch right here on the First TV, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, Liz. That's weird, because I always remembered it being life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I wonder what happened with Dome.
Hi, Jesse. Thanks for having me. The question that I had when I first saw that video, honestly, was, is Kamala Harris just dumb? Does she actually not know that there are three rights at the beginning of the Declaration of Independence? Or is she a contemptible human being who is truthfully anti-human? I think the conclusion that I drew at the end is both. She is both dumb. It's not past the point of reality that she would just forget about life. But she is a contemptible human being. I fear for her soul, actually, because the day that Roe v. Wade was decided was one of the darkest days in American history. 70 million unborn babies lost their lives due to abortion in the space of that 49 years. Yesterday was the anniversary, the first Roe v. Wade anniversary, where Roe v. Wade had been overturned. And what did the left do? The left did not celebrate the lives that have been saved. The left did not recognize the reality that in Texas, for example, where abortions are 100% illegal, there have been no women who lost their life from illegal abortions. And this is important because the left always tells us, you can't outlaw abortion. You can just outlaw safe abortion, insinuating that women, if they're not able to obtain a quote-unquote legal abortion, will simply try these back-alley coat hanger abortions and it will cost them their lives. This is being proven to be false. It's not true. And instead of recognizing that, the left is crying and weeping and gnashing their teeth, wanting to kill unborn children. It's really despicable, but in a sense, you have to appreciate Kamala Harris at least being honest about her anti-child, anti-human agenda.
Liz, I realize I'm a little bit older than you are, but I remember this very, very clearly from my entire life. Democrats would always campaign on safe, legal, and rare when it came to this issue. I remember Barack Obama talking about wanting to reduce abortions. Of course, he was lying, but that's what he would campaign on. And it went from that to, my goodness, kill them all. How did that happen so fast?
Well, it was never their true agenda to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. It was just a step in the process of conditioning the American public to embrace their hashtag shout your abortion campaign slogans, which is where they are now. It was always a lie when they told us that abortion is bad, but we just want women to have that decision for themselves. We aren't personally pro-abortion, but we want to respect the right of other people, even if we disagree with that choice, to be able to make that choice. That was never true. If you read the history of abortion activism, it's rooted in Marxism. If you look, I mean, Marxism is communism, which is anti-human. You know this, Jesse. I don't have to tell you this. But this was never the agenda of the abortion lobby. It just takes time to condition, to indoctrinate, to brainwash a people, to go from being a pro-life nation that's fundamentally built, our system of government and our culture is built on respect for the individual rights of men, women, and children, to go from that and to shift the mindset in our country to committing this genocide against our unborn children. You can't just flip that switch overnight. You have to turn that boiling pot on the frog warmer and warmer and warmer. So that narrative that caught fire, safe, legal, and rare, that was always a lie.
Liz, I know you've spent a bit of time in D.C. I certainly have. It just kind of comes with the job. And one thing that always hits me when I go to Capitol Hill is how many cameras there are. It's honestly, it's worse than Las Vegas. There are cameras everywhere. And yet, we have no ID so far on the guy who left the pipe bombs at the RNC and DNC. And now, most recently, we had a leaker in the Supreme Court leak the Dobbs decision. Everything is surveilled. Everything's identified. Everything is tracked by the government. And they finally came out and said, whoopsie, we just couldn't find him. And I'm really supposed to buy all this, that they just couldn't find this person?
Do you believe it, Jesse? Because I got to tell you, I don't buy it.
Nah.
I do not. I think they either know who it is, because it's not that difficult to know who it is. When this first came out, this Dobbs opinion was first leaked, we looked through. I mean, my team looked through a dozen clerks for the Supreme Court justices and traced back some radical leftist ideology, some pro-abortion activism, some spouses and girlfriends and boyfriends and husbands who work in the media. It's not that difficult to figure this out. So I find it very hard to believe, number one, that they don't know who this is. But number two, if they had any real interest in uncovering who leaked this, they would have conducted their investigation in a very different way. If you read the entire document that the Supreme Court released that explained that they couldn't find the person, you will note that they didn't even require affidavits from the justices themselves. So they didn't even question the principal actors in this institution, in the Supreme Court. They just ignored these people. And I'm sorry, I know we want to respect the Supreme Court as a quote-unquote apolitical institution, but as long as Sonia Sotomayor is on the bench, let me tell you, the Supreme Court is not an apolitical institution. She is a far leftist judicial activist. And I'm not accusing her, but I wouldn't put it past her or a member of her staff to look the other way while this was leaked. The Dobbs opinion was leaked. The other part of this is they blamed, in this document, when the Supreme Court announced that they couldn't find this leaker, they blamed it on the pandemic. They said, well, work from home and people not being on these centralized servers made it much more likely that something like this would happen. And I thought to myself, COVID-19, the virus, didn't do this. This was government mandated policies that did this. So now, instead of just one leaker, probably a far leftist, being to blame, you can blame the entire Democratic Party for this.
Tony Dungy spoke at March for Life. That was good. What happened after wasn't great, but here's what Tony Dungy said.
Every day in this country, innocent lives are at stake. And the only difference is they don't belong to a famous athlete and they're not seen on national TV. But those lives are still important to God and in God's eyes.
Okay, I love that. That's obviously wonderful. That's a good thing. But Liz, he also put out a statement on social media against furries, this insane trend where kids poop in litter boxes and bark at each other or whatever it is that they do. But then he deleted it, and of course he apologized. Liz, what is it with our side and our cultural leaders or cultural warriors being such a bunch of weenies?
I thought furries, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, I certainly am not up to speed on twisted sexual fetishes, but I thought furries was when adult humans put on animal costumes for their weird sexual fetishes. So I don't know. I mean, either way, I think those two things are something to be condemned. I think it's great that there are athletes like the hockey player, Provanov, who was willing not to wear a pride jersey, and Tony Dungy for going to the March for Life. And I think what this shows us, even more than individual cowardice or caving, I think this shows us that the left telling us that they want tolerance for LGBTQ people, that they want equality under the law for everyone, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity, that's false. It's an outright lie. They want you and I and everyone else to be forced to celebrate, not just adhere to, but forced to celebrate their radical ideology, or else face social ostracization, face firing, just face such cultural pressure that it is a lot to ask from one person to rise up and push back against that. I wish he hadn't, but I guess it's growing harder and harder for me to look at the people that cave and think, oh, come on, just grow a pair, just stand up and do it. I want them to behave like that. But the immense crushing cultural pressure that we have allowed to become embedded into our culture, that's what we have to stop before we can expect individual people who aren't necessarily political to begin with to be equipped with the armor to walk into this battle and adequately defend themselves.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the way we ought to go. Liz Wheeler, you're the best. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right. We got the great Lauren Chen going to join us next. Before we get to that, let's get to this. You see, my wife is always cold. Always. Doesn't matter. She'll wear, we're in Houston. It's like 90 degrees in the summer. She'll go outside with a sweatshirt on sometimes. I'm not kidding. And so Eden Pure, you already know about the thunderstorms, the air purifiers. Well, they put out this Gen 40 heater. It's infrared. You see, I always kept the space heaters out of the room, out of my bathroom, out of my bedroom, out of the living room. I always kept them out because I didn't want to be hot. And I always kept them out because I could always use the kids and the dogs justification. Oh, the space heaters get too hot. Oh, it's going to catch fire. They get too hot. Eden Pure puts out an infrared one, and now, safe for the pets, well, safe for the dog, safe for the kids, and this thing will heat up an entire room. It's amazing, amazing. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, gets you $50 off one of these Gen 40 heaters. Go try these things out, man. They even smell good, which is weird. I don't know why, but they do. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Fred kill Brenda just because she photographed him in the bathroom.
Why wouldn't he? If I were a rich white dude, I'd kill everybody just to get away with it.
According to TV, it's morally okay to deal drugs if your life is just kinda crappy. Like, your kid's sick, you're a widow with a mortgage, you have to live on a lake in Missouri.
Those are all white people, Daphne. Minorities on TV can only deal drugs to escape poverty.
What do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Joining me now, my friend Lauren Chen. She's, of course, a Turning Point USA contributor. Lauren, Scooby-Doo sure has changed from when I was a kid.
That's putting it mildly, and as crazy as it is, it's kind of shocking, obviously, to see Daphne kissing Velma, but this isn't even the first time that Scooby-Doo has made Velma gay.
Yeah, the glasses were always a dead giveaway for me, but okay, here's the thing, Lauren. No one watches it. Like, every time Hollywood does something like this, whether it's a TV series or a movie or something, people don't go. Disney's finding this out. They just won't go. It's not that everyone gets loud about it like you do and I do, but they don't go. Well, these things are supposed to make money. So somebody loses money when they do this, yet they keep doing this over and over and over again. I don't understand the mentality. Explain it to me.
It's hard because I'm obviously a firm believer in capitalism. And honestly, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I would have said that this whole woke propaganda push in Hollywood would have ended by now because, like you said, people just aren't interested in this. And at the end of the day, these production studios, these streaming services, they are businesses. So you would think if this pattern of content repeatedly fails, which obviously it has, eventually people would get the message who are in charge of making these decisions and say, okay, we've got to stop pushing it. It's losing money. Despite box office bombs like Lightyear and Strange World by Disney, which of course had, you know, LGBT representation in kids shows for some reason, despite Santa Inc. last year from HBO Max, which was just a gross retelling of the Santa story, we still keep seeing this type of content. So the only way that I can figure is that obviously the people behind these decisions must be so ideologically committed to pushing a left-wing agenda, they are willing to lose millions and millions of dollars in order to do so, because that's got to be what's happening by now.
Speaking of freaks out there and ideologically committed, TikTok I find to be fascinating. I don't personally have it, but I obviously am on enough social to see the videos of, well, people like this freak show.
If you need a family, you can come hang out with me. They may not see the real you, but that does not mean that you're not real. I love you very much. I'm gonna go cry. With love.
Lauren, we've always had freaks. Every society has freaks. It's that our society seems to cheer these people on. Like, if I was that human being, I would be embarrassed and I would hide. But none of our freaks seem to hide, Lauren. In fact, they seem quite pleased with themselves about the whole thing.
No, it's true. I mean, it's not, like you said, it's not like this is the only era in which people like this Rainbow Buffalo Bill have existed, because they have, obviously, forever. But it's that they no longer feel ashamed of their, not just eccentricities, but flat-out perversions. Plus, they are actually finding pretty sizable audiences on TikTok. It's not as if these people are just screaming out into the ether for some reason, and somehow they're actually attracting an audience. And if you ask me, it's because TikTok, being Chinese spyware that's pretty much disseminated to subvert the West, I think they're actually being pushed out purposefully in front of large audiences to undermine our institutions. And if you're a parent watching this, this is a final wake-up call, if you haven't already caught on, that you should not be letting your children on any social media, but especially TikTok, because if you guys aren't following Libs of TikTok already, you might not know that TikTok seems to be the center for where all of this leftist craziness is being shared and growing, where, you know, young people are learning to hate their bodies because they're not trans enough and to go after surgeries and things like that. So it's very disturbing, and it's a nefarious app if there ever was one.
It sure is. Get off TikTok, everybody. All right. I'm scared to even ask this question. I don't know that I've ever been scared to ask a question, but I heard you say transmaxing. What in the world is transmaxing, and do I actually want to know?
No, you don't want to know, actually. I think you're probably a much happier, well-balanced person not knowing, but I'm going to tell you anyway. So transmaxing is this phenomenon, which I hope is not catching on, but it does seem to be growing in popularity, where incels, or involuntarily celibate males, males who are feeling disenfranchised and marginalized in communities, like they're not valued as a male. Well, some of these men are actually believing that it's easier to be a woman, even a trans woman, to the point that they're willing to transition condition genders, including hormones, the whole shebang, simply to avoid living as an undervalued male. So no dysphoria, nothing like that that would lead them to want to transition, aside from the fact that they simply are fed up with being a man and think it's easier to be a woman. And if that doesn't speak to the sorry state of gender relations in this country, I don't know what else does.
So weird. Everything is so weird now. I feel like my father, where I just look at everything and say, that's so weird. What kind of weirdo is that? I've become my father. Okay. One thing that's not weird is how the communists conduct themselves after shootings. They stand on dead bodies and they grab for guns. And I've just tried to explain to people over and over again, because we bring up facts to them, right? Wow, the facts say it's worse in Chicago. These people know all the facts. They're just monsters and they don't give a crap.
No, it's true. And what's very consistent is not only that, you know, mentally ill people or criminals will do terrible things in this world. That's not new. But what's equally consistent is that there are, like you said, communist leftists out there who are willing to politicize any tragedy at the drop of a hat, even when doing so doesn't make sense. You know, just yesterday, day before, there was this terrible shooting in California. People were very quick to blame something like white supremacy. And I saw a number of accounts blaming white supremacy. And then when actually we got more information, actually this shooter was Asian, harder to blame it on white supremacy in that case, but not impossible, as these activists found out. Now it's actually this conversation about how even POC are able to perpetuate white supremacy. It's all very tiring, especially so soon after a tragedy, when we should be trying to support the victims and their families through this hard time.
Lauren Chen, everybody, appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, you know, I've been telling you for a while about my Grip 6 wallet, right? You know, these wallets where your cards, hold on, let me get it out, where your cards lock in. It's a hardcover, so no more leather that wears out over time. It's got a hardcover, and your cards lock in it, right? And you know how much I love my Grip 6 wallet. I tell you all the time. And how when you want your cards out, you just squeeze it, and they come popping out. It's the greatest thing ever. Then they're locked back in. I have a problem with you now, Grip 6. You see, I've showed this thing off to so many people every time I pull it out that now my sons grab it and they think it's fun to play with it. So you know what they do now? They steal my wallet and they run around the house pulling the button and they keep launching my credit cards all over the place. I'm gonna have lost credit cards because Grip 6's wallet's so cool. That's on you, Grip 6. Look, if you want a cool wallet that your sons will steal from you, go to grip6.com, promo code Jesse. Honestly, it's the greatest thing ever. Grip6.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And you know I am probably the foremost expert in the field of food, and so I'm going to help you out with a couple just healthy at home things, ways you can improve your life here in just a moment. Before we get to that, here's a way you can improve your life. Did you know you spend 1/3 of your life in bed? Isn't that amazing to think about that? 1/3 of your life in bed. Do you have a good mattress? Do you know the best mattress out there is actually American made and a family company? And did you know they're 30% off their mattresses right now for my viewers? Ghost Beds, baby. This is a wonderful family company. People who share our values. And maybe the best thing I can say about the Ghost Beds is the cooling technology. You get hot at night, you wake up, you're too hot, throwing the covers off, sweating. Not anymore. Not with Ghost Bed. Go to ghostbed.com/Jesse and finally treat yourself right. 1/3 of your life in bed. Ghostbed.com/Jesse. Now, I put out a video over the weekend and created a little bit of controversy. People are accusing me of being white trash and things like that. Well, yes, that is beefaroni. Yes, that is the canned Parmesan. And yes, I am white trash. None of that changes the fact that canned Parmesan is like the best stuff on earth. So if you want a healthy at-home snack, can of beefaroni, couple minutes on the stovetop or microwave it, tastes the same either way. A little pepper, a little bit of Parmesan out of the can, you're living like a king, all right? I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
This is an iHeart podcast.